Hey, Shakina, Jacob, Taki, Roberts, and they will bring unique perspective from their life's experience about motherhood, career, and faith in the changing world. So now let's welcome Su Yong, Shakina, and Taki. Come to the stage, please. Taki, here. Shakina, Su Yong. Thank you very much. Do you want water or any drink? Oh, Taki, yeah, cool. That's experience. You see that? Yeah. Okay, large for that one. Okay. Thank you, Elena. Thank you. First of all, thank you so much for joining us today. And before we have this panel discussion about motherhood, career, and faith in the changing world, could you please take a moment to introduce yourself a little bit? Your family, what do you do? And Su Yong, please. Great. Yeah. Good.
My name is Su Yong. Lovely to meet you all. I'm originally from Korea, but became Kiwi since 2010.
Yeah.
And I have a husband, yeah. Hoffman, who's from Hong Kong.
Yeah.
And I have two most beautiful children, Eden and Elam.
Yeah.
Eden is only 5. But she calls herself a very big girl, and she started going to school, so she's very excited.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Yeah, and Elam, who's 2 years old, they both love music, they love singing, they love arts.
Oh, you can see the picture here, right? Yeah.
They are the cutest in the world. I'm absolutely biased, but they're the cutest in the world. And Eden already starts caring for me and Rothman, reminding us on things that we forget. And Elon loves to entertain us, especially when we have arguments.
Wow. So obviously your second child was named after our church, right?
Yes.
That's what, Elam. Yeah.
Yes, because Elam is a place where my husband wasn't a believer.
Yeah, yeah.
Before we got married.
Yeah, yeah.
And just before, actually, our wedding day, he decided to give his faith and got baptized in this church.
Yeah, yeah.
And this is our first ever family church as a big family with Rothman.
Yeah.
So it was a very meaningful, special place. Yeah. And the name Elam, peace, the oasis in the middle of the desert, it's just very meaningful. We wanted Elam to grow as a Christian God lover who gives peace to other people.
Awesome.
So it was a meaningful.
Wonderful. Thank you, Su Yong. That's great. Shakina?
I am a writer, and I work as a communicator with a technological company. I have 2 kids who would like to remain anonymous, but they're up on the screen. I'll just say that one of them is doing his first year at uni, and the other one is in her final years of high school. And my husband Jacob is on stage more often than I am. He plays in the worship team.
Yeah.
That's us. And we are from India.
Yeah.
Originally. Yeah.
So those are your 2 kids, right?
Yeah, the taller Jason. 2 are the children.
Yeah. Hey, here's the thing, you know, from my observation. All the Asian kids, you know, growing up in New Zealand, all bigger and taller than their parents. You know, Kiwis must be eating something right here, eh? That's cool.
Yeah, so they turned 17 and 19 this year.
So that background is India, right?
Yeah, we took them to Delhi to see some of the monuments.
Yeah. Wow, that's great.
That's the most, we're hopeless, we're never all in the same picture together.
Yeah.
That's the only one I could find.
Yeah.
So my Mother's Day gift, they asked me what I really want, and I said I want a family picture.
Yeah.
So that's what I'm getting today.
Oh, yeah. That's nice. Shakina, many of us already watched some of your plays. I remember 4 plays, you know, in the church. So we really appreciate your contribution, you know, with your giftings to this community. You know, thank you for joining us. The one and only Taki.
Kia ora and welcome to church this morning. Nice to have you here. I'm Taki. Actually, my real name is Takirumu, but yeah. A lot of people just say who, yeah. So it got changed to Taki as yeah. I was getting older, and then I've got a husband who calls me Taki instead of Taki. Yeah.
So you have 15 kids, right?
15 kids? Well, not bad. Anyway, we've got a few extra hangers on here. Our daughter is in the white, Sarah.
Yeah.
And she's a midwife.
Yeah.
And that's her 2 children, one at the back and one in the front.
Yeah.
And John and I, of course. And you talk about height, he's obviously crouching down, but our eldest son is directly behind us, Steve. Yeah. And his wife is at the end here, Suze. And their 3 children, Leroy on the end, Molly next, or up from me, and Florence in the front. And Steve has a sound engineering business.
Yeah.
And they operate out of Christchurch. They do big gigs. They're a bit disappointed that the Crusaders are not winning because they do gigs. But anyway, that's another story. And then quite a few of you will know Joel and Laura.
Yeah, Joel and Laura, yeah.
And Evie, Lily and Ruby. And our grandkids in our children are in their 40s now, and our grandkids, their age range from 22 down to 7.
Yeah. So, so 3 8 children, 8 grandchildren, right?
And and they've been a real blessing to us. Even we have 2 very special daughter-in-laws, so we're really blessed. Yeah. And it would have been, we've been married 50 years this year.
Yeah.
John and I married at 20, and John was still at varsity, actually, and I supported him for his first year. Or his last year, rather. We come from totally different backgrounds.
Yeah.
My background was totally immersed in a Māori community. My iwi lived down from Tauranga down the bay, Eastern Bay of Plenty, Te Whanau Āwhanui. And I was brought up in very much in a Māori community, spoke fluent Māori.
Mm.
And I joke because, you know, it was so fluent that when I went to school, it was like I had to learn English. And then I was of the generation where you never spoke Māori at school. So now it's kind of, I've got to put myself through a refresher course.
Yeah.
So that was my background. And John's background was totally the opposite. He'd come from a strong Christian background. His family were involved. His great-granddad was the first Pentecostal pastor in New Zealand. They also started Elam in Wellington. But were very, very sporty people. So he had 2 grandparents, great-grandfather and uncle that were in the All Blacks, 1st All Blacks, all that sort of stuff. So it was total opposite. I'd come from, I'm the oldest of 10, and my mother had me when she left school. I don't know who my father is to this day. I know him by name, but I never had any connection with him. My grandmother brought me up, and so she became mum in my world. And that's quite common in Māori culture for the eldest grandchild to be brought up by grandparents. They call it whānau. I was adopted by her.
Mm.
And that was my saving grace, really.
Yeah.
Given, you know, the lifestyle that my mother had had. And, yes, I'm really thankful to God about that.
Thank you, Taki.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry. Oh, yeah. I've been part. We've been a part of Elam for 37 years.
Yeah.
And the rest, I've been on staff nearly 30. So yeah. That's me.
Yeah, that's wonderful. That's a wonderful journey. Yeah. So the first question I want to ask all three of you is, as Christian mom, and what is the biblical teachings or values that influence you the most as you raise up your children, and why is it so important to you? Can we start from begin with Shakina?
So I had to think a bit about which ones to pick.
Yeah.
If I had to pick two, they would be, the first one was that God loved us first.
Yeah.
And he loves us unconditionally, and yeah. he always will.
Yeah.
Therefore, because we are loved, we serve.
Yeah.
Because we are loved, we love other people,
yeah.
even those who hurt us.
Yeah.
Because Christ has loved us into wholeness.
Yeah, yeah.
So we tried to flip the narrative a little bit, because I grew up in a very strict Christian household, lots of do's and don'ts. And I found that what was perhaps more helpful was to start at the other end and have our ideology and our actions rooted in God's love rather than a list of do's and don'ts. So God's unconditional love is the driving force.
Wow.
And the other one, if I had to choose one, would be integrity, that who we are behind closed doors matters. And the children really get to see us up close.
Oh, yeah.
And so it's important that who we are at home, in the privacy of our homes, matches up to who we say that we are outside and what we preach, because they need to see that there's no dichotomy between the two, that we have an undivided heart.
Mm-hmm.
Because later on, when they begin to question things,
mm-hmm.
That's one of the... I've seen lots of disillusioned children because parents are one thing outside and another thing inside the house.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't mean we're perfect. We're so far from perfect. In fact, I tried to get out of this panel, I told you. But you wouldn't have it, so I'm here. So this is not because we're a perfect family, but we try to live with as much integrity as possible.
Yeah, so those
are the two foundations.
Yeah, yeah. Thank you, Shakina. So you say, first of all, is God's unconditional love. You know, that's the driving force. And the second thing is integrity. So that means when we believe in God's unconditional love, we're going to show it, right? We're going to live it out. And also our kids can see that. You know, we cannot talk about God's unconditional love to other people, and then we don't really live out this kind of love in front of our kids.
Yeah.
So that's very insightful. Thank you very much. That's great. And how about you, Su-young?
My first biblical values is exactly the same as Pina. Love, and love.
Yeah.
And especially because as Shakina's children are not really even looking like children, they're teenagers, right?
Mm.
And my kids are completely dependent on me still.
Mm.
And I have to always remind myself, love comes before discipline. Love comes before correction. Love comes before anything else. And I always find 1 Corinthians 13, the Bible verse about love.
Yeah, yeah.
That's like the instructions of how you should be parenting from the Bible.
Yeah.
Because it says love is patient.
Yeah.
Just the hardest part. Love is kind. It's not easily angered. Keeps no record of wrongdoings.
Mm.
And it always protects, trusts, hopes, and always perseveres. And I believe that's the main thing I have to always remind myself to be a good mother and to be a good wife as well for Rothman. And secondly, I also find being part of the church along with our children is a very biblical value that we value as a family because, you know, God loved church.
Mm.
And we're living in a society where everything can be confusing. What's being taught at school, what's being taught in media, it can be very confusing.
Yeah.
And it's one of our only trustworthy group with a bunch of other families who believe in the same God, same Holy Spirit, same Jesus, where we can share our true thoughts about how to raise our kids, what we think about certain topics, what's being taught in school. Is this right? Do you guys agree, or is there any other thoughts?
Mm.
And celebrate together and struggle together as well, and pray for each other. And we believe that's gonna really influence our children as they observe how we do things, and they continue doing it as they grow up.
Yeah.
And just lastly, using Bible to teach our children, as the Bible says in Timothy and Proverbs.
Mm. So what I hear from you is, it's very important for parents to intentionally create a community of faith for our children to grow up. You know, that's why I know you are both leading a small group for the parents with this age, with the children in a similar age as your children, right? So you create this kind of a community for the kids to grow up together. Yeah, okay, that's good.
Because church, Sunday service is not enough time to share the deep things.
Great, that's good, that's really good, yeah. So join a small group, hey. Here is your contact numbers. Taki, what's the biblical value? A biblical value influence you the most as a mother?
Interestingly enough, how the unconditional love is coming out here, because that's paramount to our family as well. I grew up in an era where you never told anybody, you know, your parents didn't tell you often that you were loved.
Yeah.
In fact, I don't think my mother knew how to tell me that, just through, you know, the stuff she was going through. But I guess it enforced into us, you know, the greatest example of unconditional love is Jesus himself.
Amen.
And despite all our imperfections, he loves us. He loves us where we're at. He loves us on our journey. And it's no different with kids, you know. We all want the best for our kids. And we have always, despite whether we disagreed or agreed or whatever, told our kids they're loved. Yeah. And even to this day, you know, they're in their 40s.
Yeah.
We love you guys. Love you guys. And it's nice to be able to extend that.
Exactly.
To our daughter-in-laws.
Yeah, yeah.
And our grandkids, and it's been a real hallmark, you know, in that. And the other thing is consistency.
Yeah.
Consistency in our, you know, like you were talking about, Suyong, about coming to church and stuff. We knew that the time would come that our kids would have to make up their own mind about where their relationship was at with God and stuff like that. But as much as we could, we were consistent about them being in church. Consistent in getting them involved in things. That sort of thing influenced, our relationship with God was important to us, and we needed to be consistent in that for our own growth, but for our children's growth too. We made that a real fundamental in terms of it influencing our parenting style, the activities that they would go on, and even in the challenges that they would face, you know. Because at times, you don't feel like loving them. They can be proper little rat bags.
Yeah.
But, you know, you come back to that thing. Okay, Lord, you know, I'll put it right. You know,
that's what we talk about, unconditional love, right?
And it's some consistency in everything that we did.
Yeah.
Was important for us.
Because what I heard from all of you, there is one thing in common, is we need to show our kids unconditional love and integrity and consistency. But here's the problem. Can you please give us, every one of us, all of us, a specific story or experience or example you have faced that the value in the culture conflict with the value what you believed or the way you try to raise up your children. Do you have ever facing this kind of a struggle in life? I believe so. And can you please share that with us? And how do you handle that? Second up, please.
I think the challenges change from age group to age group. So I'm just mainly speaking as a parent of adolescents. There's so much difference right now in the perception of what is normal like whether it's gender identity, what is the right amount, what's the normal amount of time to spend on social media, what's the normal thing to do on a Sunday, where does church fit in, where does family fit in? Yeah. And the world has become so me-centric, like so inward-looking, that it's a paradigm shift, you know, to help the kids to see how we look at the world. And that's a really huge challenge. And one of the things that we've done, and again, age appropriately, right from picture book stage, I've tried to show the kids the heart of God. You know, I keep saying this, I've said this more as the years go by, God is a genius. You know, He is the master designer of our bodies, of the universe. He put it together, He knows how it functions. And so to view rules and boundaries as a good thing, as the thing that helps us to function at optimum best, whatever His design is, whether it's for family and whether it's for how we spend our time. You know, for example, the verse, whatsoever is lovely, whatsoever is true, pure, think on these things. It's the best advice a therapist can give you, right? It doesn't get better than that. It's where you focus your mind. So to help our kids, we tried to unpack these principles for them and then left them to make the choices and sort of cheered them on as coaches rather than a prescriptive, you know, this is what you should do and this is what you shouldn't do. But these are the principles that God has designed for us and see how well they work and then help them to make their choices based on that. And that's one of the key sort of tools that we've used with the challenges that we faced. And the other one is, I can't stress this enough, it's the wisdom of the Holy Spirit. There's no amount of parenting books are going to help us in the way that the Holy Spirit helps us. And I've been in conflicts with my kids where both sides have equal and opposite arguments. It's been a really tense situation.
Wow.
But as I'm speaking, I've been asking God to give me the right words. And I've experienced miracles, you know, where you don't know what to say, you know, but the Holy Spirit, He changes perspectives.
Wow.
And He changes hearts. Mm-hmm. So if there's one thing that you take from what I say today, it's the wisdom of the Holy Spirit. That's really been the sort of foundational tool in our parenting kit. And the other one is that we invest in the relationship with our kids in terms of time. So we have every single week we go on a date with our kids because we fight for their friendship. You know, we swap stories, we talk about challenges at work, at school. So we keep the conversation going. And that's really important so that they can come to us with the big questions. So yeah, those are the things that we do to handle challenges.
Wonderful. So number one of the key things is the power of the Holy Spirit. You know, and both of them both guides you in the conversation, but also I believe God's Holy Spirit is also working in kids' heart as well. Hey, the other thing is investing time in kids, right? Just spend time with them, have a conversation with them. Oh, that's wonderful. And Taki, and what's your story?
Where would we be without the Holy Spirit? Time and time again, you know, I've been at that place where Lord, what do you want to do in this situation? You need not only to change, you know, where our kids are at, but where my heart is. And I always, you know, try to endeavour to bring the Holy Spirit into, even now, you know, as we sit back as observers on your family, Lord, what are you saying here? And it's interesting to see how God does things in the least, you know, unexpected times, and you can just change the situation. We went through, we had three very different children. Our eldest one, Steve, is incredibly laid back, and he was, you know, he thrived on school and sport and all those sorts of things. And when he went out at night and came home, you could guarantee he'd end up on the end of our bed telling us about where he'd been, all this stuff. And I can remember times where, you know, I'd think, oh no, here we go again, you know. And but that's the sort of child he was. And they were really precious times to us. And interestingly, going back a few years ago, he said, Mum, thank you. Thank you for always being there and just letting me chill on your bed and tell you where I'm at. And then we had a daughter who at 16 decided she didn't want to know about home anymore, so she left. And that was huge. But that's where the unconditional love comes in.
Wow.
Because it was so different. She totally didn't want to know, you know, anything in terms of what we'd instilled. She even said to me one day, "You just want me to be a Christian because you are." And I said, "No, it's not about that. It's about what Jesus does in your heart."
Wow.
And that was quite a big thing because she couldn't argue that. You can argue with your parents, but you can't argue with God. God knows best. And that, you know, and that's where unconditional love really came in for us in that circumstance. And then we had Joel, our super sensitive Joel, who John used to do a lot of travelling with his job, and he was the one. I put him to bed at night. I put him to bed this particular night, and he just wouldn't settle, which was really unusual. And he was crying and stuff. I said, "What's up?" "Dad didn't tell me he was going away." But what I learned from that was, and John and I both learned, was that he was the one that needed to know what was going on. And so even to this day, he's my detail boy. And so he wants the details. So John would get him up, they'd have breakfast together, they'd talk about where he was going. And that's the way it was. You know, and he was a lot more settled with that.
Taki, I really got a question I want to ask you. Following your experience with your daughter when she was a teenager, she left home. So do you mind sharing with us what brought her back eventually? Because I know you've got a very close relationship with her now, one beautiful family. But what brought her back? What's the?
I think, you know, I talked about consistency before and that unconditional love. I think that was probably the big thing because we always felt, you know, I would contact her regularly despite the choices that she was making. And we always keep the door open.
Wow.
And I think in the end, it's interesting actually talking to her now, and she rings me often, you know, for, "What do you think about this, Mum? What do you think about that?" And I think if we'd closed that door, we would have lost her.
Wow. Thank you, Taki. That's very, man, I become emotional. Sorry. No, we're professional, eh?
It's real. But that's real.
That's so good. So parents, you know, when our kids become teenagers, probably, you know, some of them will become very rebellious. But remember, there's always open doors. But that's biblical, right? The father always waiting for his son to come back no matter what. Thank you, Taki. That's very
good. I'm reminded of the prodigal son.
That's real life. That's real life testimony of a biblical story. Yeah. That's wonderful. So, Yon, so what's the struggle you're facing? You know, your Christian value and what's going on in the culture, how the culture affect your kids?
Fortunately, my children are not at the age of being too influenced because what is valued at daycare, because Eden only just started school, is quite in line with what the Bible teaches, like, you know, give way, the simple things, like be kind to other people. It doesn't entirely clash. However, I can see it coming because there will be times where Eden asks questions like, "Why do men marry women? Like, doesn't dad have to be always a man?" Already. So my heart started pumping and I was like, I wasn't ready for this yet.
Wow.
Better raise it to my small group. Like, that's where I get all the ideas.
Wow.
Because that's what Rothman and I are trying to prepare in advance, maybe talk about it with our children before the school starts talking about it. And share our experience on and observations in the some of the things that we may have seen in different side of that's not biblical. And also, it will be, again, I think you mentioned something about examples of, what I've known in the past clashes with, like, what the Bible teaches us, is one of the thing is, when I was growing up as a child, in Korean culture, you obey your parents.
Your
parents are the law,
pretty
much. And you don't do that, you immediately get smacked. And my dad was pretty strict on that.
Yeah.
So I got spanked heaps when I was a kid. Because I would talk back. This is not logical. That daughter who would question why my dad would emphasize or tell me to do some stuff. Yeah.
You grew up in Christian family, right?
My dad wasn't a Christian.
Oh, okay.
And
cool.
My mom used to go to church, but he stopped her.
Wow.
Especially when she started had kids, he thought it was a waste of time.
So
my family wasn't Christian.
Mm.
We became, and praise the Lord, after many, many years of prayer, my father is, and he's very happily attending church with my mom in a Korean church.
Mm.
And it pretty much happened when I was in my 20s, many years later.
Mm.
And I was heavily influenced by the very strict and rigid family lifestyle that my father was driving, mainly.
Okay.
But I believe it's really God's plan.
Yeah.
Because although my dad had a personality like that, my mom was the housewife who stayed home with us, and she was like the complete opposite. Very loving, and she didn't believe in the educational style of Korea. She believed in giving freedom, creativity to all her kids. Allowed us to make all the mess. We only have to clean it up before my dad comes home. Which will be sometimes 10 p.m. and we'll never see him. Like, it's the working hours very long in Korea. So I had to get out of the habit first when I was raising my kids, because I was thinking for about a very long time, because I had to overcome the grudge I had against my dad. And that only came through Christ. Could come through Christ. I could not explain. When I have a phone conversation with him, because my dad used to live in Korea for 10 years while I was here just with my mom and my kids. I mean, not my kids. My mom and my sister in New Zealand for 10 years before I got married. And every time I'll be on the phone, I'll end up in a fight with him. So I thought something wasn't right. And I had to start looking, like asking questions. I entered like a very long, like a discipleship kind of a training thing at a Korean church based on Bible for a year. And that's how I overcome thinking about forgiveness, by actually realizing how much God forgave me. How ridiculous I was to be holding that kind of grudge from what my father did. And even my father did it not intentionally. He thought that was good for me.
Yeah.
But he did not know what consequences.
So that kind of healing process happening before or after you became a mother?
Definitely before.
You realize that already,
yes,
right?
Yes.
I think you made a very important point here. You know, we always want to give our kids very positive biblical influence, but sometimes we ignore our own issues. Maybe we need to go through healing first. Maybe we need to correct ourselves first, change ourselves first, deny ourselves first, right? I think that's a very, very important point.
Yeah. The reason I noted that is because it comes back.
Yeah.
When I'm raising it, I thought I got rid of it.
Right.
And, you know, I still have my dad around. And also, like, there are similar situations where I get heated conversation with Eden.
Yeah.
He's so little, already heated. and
just like you.
Yeah, just like me. And just like, oh my gosh, that's just me. She's logically fighting against what I'm telling her to do.
Yeah.
And I realized that, okay, this is something I've already gone through.
Yeah.
And I'll have to pray to God, heal me again, and let me overcome this again. And I know what your method is, God, so let me do that, help me. Yeah. And honestly, I fail so many times. I have to let everyone know I fail many times, but through prayer and through Holy Spirit, I do overcome it as well.
Well, thank you so much, Suyan. That's really important, because it's about a self-reflection, right? Always looking to ourselves, you know, correct ourselves first. Thank you very much. That's a very important insight for us. Oh, now we got a specific question for each one of you. The first one is for Shakina. Shakina, we know you were, you know, when in your early age, when you were trained at the Royal Court Theatre in London, and then your plays, your work has been featured in international festivals, even on BBC Radio. And just last year, and you adapted an original 5th century India script and staged it in Auckland Theatre. And we know the feedback from the media was really good. And you complete your PhD degree last year. So there are so many things going on. And we also know as a playwright, you're going to be very creative, right? To be or not to be, right? This kind. So your mind is up, is always there, right? But being a mother, there's something very practical down to the earth. We'll drag you down to the earth to face the reality. To how do you handle those two so different natures? Or maybe it's not different in your eyes. You know, how do you make those two roles perfectly work together smoothly?
I don't know if I get it perfectly smoothly. All of that, but the struggle is real. When I had the kids, I really struggled. When my kids were the age that Sue's kids are, I found it really hard. Both my kids were just 2 years apart, and when they were toddlers, they were always needing me. I couldn't have two intelligent thoughts in a row, you know? And I just, you know, I just did not enjoy. There was nothing Mary Poppins about it. And if you're believing stuff like that on Instagram, guys, it's not true. I'm just telling the mums-to-be that I see. Get ready for it. It was physically challenging. It wasn't a storybook life. And I really struggled. I also felt very intellectually lonely because, you know, there's only so much, you know, of in-depth conversation you can have with kids who are this high. So I really struggled with it. But, you know, the thing that I've learned over the years, and the challenges change from year, you know, the kids keep needing you emotionally later, so it's equally challenging. But the thing that I'm learning over these years is never to forget that I am also a child. I will always be a child of my Heavenly Father.
Yeah.
And I never stop being that daughter.
Yeah.
And God cares for me, and He holds me, He carries me. And, you know, sometimes as moms and wives, we just want everything to be perfect for everybody else. We work so hard to coordinate everyone's schedules and everyone's emotions. And, you know, we want to be superwomen, but we really weren't made to be that way. We were made to remain children of the King. And just to remember that God carries me. And if I fall, He'll catch me, you know.
Yep.
So to receive grace that I pass on has become more important to me than being this picture-perfect mom who never gets anything wrong.
Yeah.
Just receiving the love of Christ and just being a child, walking hand in hand with Him every day. I'm really enjoying that more now. So that's really been. And if you were to ask me what's a positive thing that's come of it, I think as a parent, you understand the Father heart of God, that He would never, ever, like as a parent, if I could help it, I would never let anything bad happen to my child.
Yeah.
You know? And if at all I'm allowing something, it's absolutely because I'm sure it's for their good.
Mm.
So how much more the Father? You know, the Bible says if we ask Him for a fish, you know, if we ask our Father, earthly Father, for a fish, will He give us a stone? It's impossible.
Yeah.
Right? So the more that I understand the parent heart of God, it gives me the courage to take creative risks.
Yeah.
Because I'm doing it from a safe place. I'm able to take those risks to try and achieve something. It's okay if I fail because God's got me. He loves me.
Yeah.
He's got the answers.
Yeah. I like this idea, you know, being a Christian mother doesn't mean be a perfect mother, right? We all have struggles. And also for you, it's a personal growth journey as a mother as well. Yeah, that's wonderful. Yeah. How about you, Suyong? You are a senior engineer, right? You know, as I was working in the building industry for 15 years, I only met one female engineer. So obviously, you are working in a male-dominated workplace. So you're going to be tough. You're going to be strong, right, in that environment. But back home, you have to be gentle. You have to be gracious to your kids and to your old man. And so how do you, so how do you handle those two different roles?
Okay. So, sorry, I forgot to introduce myself with my career.
Yeah.
I'm a civil engineer working at a design consultancy. Mm. And currently, remember that time, Shane? I'm still the team leader for the civil team.
Yeah.
And I actually had to pray multiple times and also ask for Shane's prayer and Shane's guidance on, look, I just have my second child. And I'm about to return to my work. I've been offered this civil engineering team leader position. Doesn't this sound crazy to you? Do you think this is God's will? Or if I take it, am I just being completely greedy, wanting, you know, like a career path for myself? So after a very long time praying and also Shane's prayer, I decided to go on, and I'm still working on it. Thank God I haven't been fired yet. and actually, after months of working, I started to realize this may have really been God's plan.
Yeah.
Because believe it or not, yes, it's a tough and rough environment I work with.
Yeah.
I work with a lot of people who just have the F word every single day, every single sentence they say.
Wow.
And just to give you an idea, we work on civil design plans for clients who are making 100 lots subdivisions.
Mm-hmm.
And us delaying it by a day could cost thousands of dollars.
Yeah.
Us making mistake on a engineering plan could cost $200,000, $1 million loss.
Can happen,
for the client. So we do work with clients who are very sensitive with time and money.
Yeah.
And that means I get numerous phone calls, even when I come back home, from clients who are angry on top of their head.
Yeah.
Not entirely from us.
Yeah.
It will be from council not approving, wanting us to change the design.
Yeah.
So, yes, it is a very headachy situation that I come across.
Yeah.
And I deal with a lot of people who are rough.
Yeah.
But after becoming a mother, I find my work a lot easier.
Really? Wow. In what way?
I believe that.
Yeah.
See, I'll tell you why. I am not lying. Initially, of course, in the middle of a work, I may get a phone call from daycare. Oh, Elon vomited. Could you take her home? That kind of struggles. Or Eden started having fever. Can you please take her home? Or dropping her off and picking her up on time. That is the physical struggle that I have, but actual work-wise, he made me to do the work. I feel God made me to do the work.
Yeah.
He trained me up over the many years. And I'll tell you why. I don't have to be working like a stereotypical engineer. So that's what I figured. And I tried to amplify the strength I have to help the engineering projects go well, which will be communication. I became one of the best communicators in our team.
Wow.
Because have you tried communicating with children?
Yeah.
You need to be drawing pictures, body language, tone of voice, everything has to be perfect.
Yeah.
And believe it or not, it applies to adults as well.
Yeah.
And I think you mentioned, was it you? Men generally tend to communicate not so well. And I really noticed that.
Not in my house.
I'm just saying in general. Yeah, I'm not saying everyone. I noticed that is my strength, and a lot of people gave me the feedbacks that is my strength. So I thought, okay, I'll let other people focus on what their strengths are, let them grow in that sense, and I'll focus on the stuff that I'm good at, which is communication.
Oh, that's pretty good, because in your workplace, you focus on bring the best out of other people, right? That's great leadership.
Yes, thank you. And one of the first things I did when I became team leader was, what do you guys want? What do you guys enjoy? And I started putting them into training. And one of my staff told me that I haven't been sent to a training for years. So I really appreciate that. And their face changed, like demotivated to motivated, which was amazing. And But the thing was, I was just doing my job. Yeah. I wasn't expecting any feedback.
Yeah.
And also, another strength I realized from my experience is quickly relating to others' needs,
yeah.
which is, again, a very important thing when you're dealing with clients.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And actually empathizing
yeah.
as well, like
yeah.
when they've lost money from contractors not turning up or things like that.
So you pretty much bring your parenting skill in the workplace, right? Yes. Oh, that's wonderful.
It doesn't sound like... you don't expect that, right?
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
why I was very worried before returning to
yeah,
work.
Yeah.
And... wanted all those prayers.
Yeah.
And also, you know, being a female engineer on site, especially on site with contractors, I come across situations where I'm just like spontaneously ignored. Like
yeah.
I'm not
yeah.
there on site.
Wow.
And one of the things I learned that helps is take out my feelings or emotionally reacting to that.
Wow.
But we all try to achieve the same goal, which is bringing the project to conclusion, and I'll bring them back, showing the plans. Here's what I did for you. Would you like to work on this?
Yeah.
And then that's how things get sorted. So I feel like a lot of my multitasking skills, which is a lot harder when you're a mom.
Yeah, yeah.
So multitasking at work became so easy at work because the amount I need to do when I go back home is about 2-3 times more than that.
Yeah. yeah.
So like you're trying to feed the kids and get them ready for school and wipe the poo my youngest child did while the other one is crying. So and be on time at work. So that kind of multitasking skills, I find it a lot harder than what I need to do at work.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So what I find it is it's actually harder being the nice, smooth mom
yeah.
back at home. Because I spend so much time with them, and I love them so much, so I have this many things I want to do for them.
Yeah.
But if they have tantrums, I can't do this, and then I get frustrated.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And always have to come back to God to help me do that, and then, you know, the roughness that I had at work doesn't give me that tangency of, you know, tolerating their tantrums.
Yeah.
So I need a lot more prayers, and one thing that helped me was every single day now, I listen to Christian podcasts and
yeah, yeah, yeah.
for myself
yeah.
because that helps me read the word, listen
yeah.
to the word
yeah.
of God, and that has been really improving my interaction with Eden and Elam and
yeah,
Hoffman
yeah.
as
yeah,
well.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So your spiritual spiritual discipline plays a very important role in both in your workplace and family.
Definitely,
right. yeah.
yeah.
Oh, that's wonderful. That's a wonderful talk today. And Taki, as we wrap up today's discussion, and you know, from your life experience, you know, you must witness quite a few lot culture shiftings, you know, all the way. And do you have any advice and or the encouragement for today's ladies in this church, in this congregation, as we wrap up today's discussion?
I was just blown away by what these girls have shared, really. For me, I think, because I always wanted to be a mum.
Mm.
And so I went out to be the best mum that I could. Not the perfect mum, but the best mum that I could
yeah,
be.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think a fundamental to that was my relationship with God. I felt that it wasn't just for when I turned up at church. It was... also for the everyday things, because, you know, I often used to say my best times with God was at the clothesline, you know, when you're hanging out the washing, because that's the relationship I have with my
yeah.
Father.
Yeah.
He came and he brought healing to my soul. Funnily enough, well, not funny, but my mum was had the foulest temper. And I saw that in action with my siblings, and she was going through her own stuff of abuse, all that sort of stuff. And my grandmother, as I said, was my saving grace. But when I became a Christian, I realized that I thought I was going to have prayer about my situation with my mother, but God showed me that the, the greatest thing he wanted to show me was his father's love. Because I'd never experienced it. I never knew my father. And so when you talk about healing, I can, like my salvation, to this day, say, nobody can take that away from me. My father loves me more than I will ever, ever know. He goes beyond the things that I do practically as a mum, and, you know, with my connections with people. That's my father. And I will always, always be grateful for that. And so that's the thing that has held me to this day, really, because, and it will continue to. I do a lot of what I call self-talking. So often when I'm faced with a situation, whether it be, you know, helping somebody or whatever, or even in a room like this, and I sense something, something's not right, or I need to get my attitude right, I talk about that with my father. I say, oh, Lord, you know, you need to sort me out here. You know how I'm feeling. And just be real about it and just allow him always to have access into your life. And it helps so much when it comes to being a mother, to being a parent, to being a wife, to being a spiritual mum to others, you know. It's that, it's coming to that place, that realizing that God so believes in us as individual, and he loves us more than we can ever know.
Yeah. So trusting God always, and have this and conversation with God instantly, right? Consistently. So that's wonderful. And thank you for three ladies, and let's give them a big hand. And today we talk a lot, and there's a lot of takeaways. And I just want to ask you one question. What's the one thing you can take away today? Not just for ladies, but men like me, you know. I just learned a lot today. What's the one thing can really improve your relationship with God and your loved ones in your families or the people around you? Remember this one thing and start work on that. And thank you for spending time with us. And today, Gustav, can you please pass me the gift? You know, today we will give away this gift to every lady in this room. And please remember to pick one on the way out here. And it contains four cards. You know, the purpose for that is to encourage you to write down your encouragement or blessings to others. Be a blessing in your life to others. So this is a gift for you today. So remember to pick one from the basket on the way out. Now I pass the microphone to our MC, Gustav. It's today's Gustav's debut as MC.
Thank you, Pastor Shane. It was great to hear from our mothers. Really inspiring words of wisdom. Cool. So if you guys want to connect with us in any way about anything, the connect cards on the back of your seats are a great way to do so. Just what's God been speaking to you about? Is it a baptism? Is that your next step? You know, if it is, we'd love to know. We'd love to walk with you. And yeah, just fill out a card. You can pop it in the box in the foyer. Also, if you are wanting to start a small group or feel God might be calling you to start one, that's also a great way to let us know. Cool. So three important notices we have. Firstly is our Women's Replenish Conference. This is going to be the ultimate Girls' Day Out hosted by Elam churches across New Zealand. So get ready for a day filled with inspiration, laughter, meaningful connections, and God moments as we explore the theme this year of Behold. Registrations are $30, and you can either register online or in the foyer at the info desk on the cards. Also, next week is our Pentecost Sunday. It's going to be an awesome day, and to celebrate it, we are having a baptism service. So if you guys are wanting to be baptized, we have an opportunity next week. This is a great way to take your next step. So if you'd like to know more about that, you can speak to Pastor Shane or fill out a Connect card as well. Also on the same night at 5 p.m., we're having a mega prayer night where we're all coming together for a night of prayer and worship. We're a people of faith, you know, and we come together, as we come together unified, it is a time to believe for God's breakthrough in each of us, in our communities, in our nation, in all of our areas that we have influence in, that He has influence in through us. So come join with us for that. Now we go into our time of offering, and I'd like you guys to, I'd invite you to stand with me now as I pray over it. Firstly, I'd just like to thank you guys. I'd like to really encourage you for all those who have given to our vision offering. It has really been amazing coming back from Encounter Camp recently, and I've seen the work that God has been doing among the youth. I'd like to encourage you that when you give, it's not about how much you give, but about the heart you give with and who you are really giving it to. You know, when you give to the hands of our almighty, everlasting God that multiplies it. And it has a ripple effect, impacting individuals. Jesus, He won't forsake them. Blessed are those who seek His face.